Well, it's about time. GRD's Weekly.
Funny.
See? It's got a double meaning. Mm-hmm. It comes around again from the other side. Hey, everybody, look, it's GRD. Wait, Sweekly.
Smonthly? No.
Episode number?
258.
No.
262.
The palindromic 262. Indeed, it is. Hi, we're the
folks. I'll never get the number.
From geekradiodaily.com. As long as you are consistently wrong, you're still consistent. Think about it that way. We are gathered around again, finally, to tell you about everything the hell that's been going on. The folks bringing it to you today, the lady who, as soon as I told her what the show was going to be about, looked at me and said,
"Weepy wobbly, timey wimey,
stop." Stop. Sounds about right.
The gentleman that's starting to get a little bit of an inflated ego, it's Saucy.
We are the future, Charles, not them.
Slow your roll. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
You live in a spaceship, dear.
It's the future. Ooh, what have you been doing geeky, yo?
Well, way too much stuff for one show, but I will hit the highlights, a.k.a. what I remember to write down on my list. Anyway, Saucy and I have been watching the show on, what is this network, WGN?
WGN.
Is it
WGN Chicago.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, isn't that like a local network out of Chicago?
Yeah.
But
it's on everybody's basic cable package.
Okay, they have a show, and I guess I didn't realize they had original programming, original content.
They've just now like started to do original
programming. They've off and on. That's where my little brother used to watch Bozo, the Bozo Morning Show, because it was on WGN.
Okay.
This is why my mom and dad are Cubs fans, because my dad was able to watch every single Chicago Cubs game because it was part of WGN.
That is crazy. Well, they have this original show called The Outsiders, and it's about this clan family that lives on the mountain. No, it's not about Pony Boy. Not those outsiders, but other outsiders in some kind of Appalachian mountain. It's pretty interesting. It's got a very Sons of Anarchy vibe to it, but just in general, it's a soap opera, but it's also sort of like fighting and it's just interesting to think about like different ways of going about like a society life. Like you think about it, like we and most people do it one way, and who's to say there's not another way that would be just as good? It's just interesting.
So Saucy, you're saying there's more than one way to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Saucy had watched a couple episodes and he stopped and waited for me because he knew I was gonna like it.
I love the show. I mean, I loved the show before I even watched the show. As soon as I found out the show was going to be about, I knew it was going to be great.
Well, because I don't know how many people know about you. I don't know how often you talk about how you like totally want to go off on a mountain by yourself.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you had a whole family full of like-minded individuals, right? That wouldn't be too bad.
No. Be great. Be a little clan on the mountain doing stuff.
You know, okay, somebody jot that down. I need to get you saying I want to live in the clan with the clan on a mountain.
Not that clan. And so I said it sort of reminds us of Sons of Anarchy. Spencer and I have been working on Sons of Anarchy for a very long time, and we finally watched the end of it, the last couple episodes. I think neither one of us really wanted it to end, so like we drew out that last season.
Well, I mean, I've been there since the beginning. I watched the first episode when it aired, and I didn't miss a single episode until like the seventh season. Then I missed a few, but wow.
Wow. Yeah, it actually had a decent ending, like to the point of too many shows, like they get canceled and they don't know they're going to end. They were able to obviously like plan out an ending. And so not all shows get an opportunity to do that. So you could definitely tell that they had an end in mind.
Okay.
And so that was satisfying, more satisfying than like an abrupt rug pull out. Not that I'm saying the ending was necessarily satisfying. A lot of shit went down, but like it was definitely wrapped up.
But don't you think that the last scene, that like those last moments would have been just a little more powerful if they had been playing Carry On My Wayward Son at the time?
Wow.
Just me? Okay, it's fine.
I don't know. Huh. Then a lot of our other stuff is like we are so behind on our DVR because we have alternate working schedules now.
Yeah,
that
it's very crazy.
You and I have watched like the tiniest bit of a lot of things, and Spencer's watched
like nothing,
like three or four things, but a lot of those episodes of that thing. So it's just totally different. So we're behind on everything, but we have watched Agent Carter. We have like two episodes behind on Agent Carter.
Right. I haven't started that yet.
Yeah,
you saw the first hour with us.
Maybe. Yeah,
you saw the first one, The Lady in the Lake.
Yeah.
And I love Agent Carter. I like the show a lot. It's a great show. It's fun. I like that it's a period, you know, piece. It's in a different time. And just in general, it's just super fun. Hayley Atwell is awesome.
Yeah.
She kicks ass. And it's it's just a great show. So I'm highly enjoying that. I know you wanted to wait until we watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because, like, we usually go in release order for Marvel stuff. But I don't. I mean, it's set in the past, so it's not going to impact. I mean, we're still going to watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
Are you saying to me on an episode which we're specifically talking about the future and past things?
Yes.
That the past can't affect the future?
It surely can. It okay. surely can. But
although it would be affecting its present since it's the future for them, but not. That's why I was always confused about Back to the Future, because it wasn't the future, it was the present. So he was really just trying to go ahead to the present, which doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah, it does not have the same ring to it. You're not putting that on a poster.
Ahead to the present. Forward to the present.
That doesn't get butts in seats.
Back to where we were.
Return to the now. That return to now is not actually bad.
It's pretty good.
Not a bad idea. Anyway. And we've watched like a little bit of The Flash and a little bit of Arrow, a little bit of the League of...
Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Right.
So we're definitely behind on all of those shows.
All of them.
Yeah.
So we can't possibly spoil anything for anyone.
We can't. So Felicity's in a wheelchair. You might be listening to this going, she's so not anymore. Or she's dead. I mean, who knows? Something could have happened to Felicity. We have no idea.
Well, the fun thing is, even if we knew what it was, it may not be that way anyway, depending on when someone listens.
Ooh. Ooh. Plus, the Flash can change time.
There you go. So this episode might not have happened.
Might not have even happened. Whoa. I think I just broke my brain a little bit.
Okay.
Whoa. And we only watched the first episode of The Legends of Tomorrow, the
that
setup for it. But I kind of like it. I'm definitely interested in watching more of them, that crew going on adventures and, you know, working together and becoming a team. And I definitely am interested in more of those.
Well, what's working so well on that is it reminds me of a 70s comic book just done with the sensibilities of now, because it's just that kind of setup and... It could be a goofy thing. It could be, and I'm sure it's going to have some moments of goofiness in it. But yeah.
Well, Brandon Routh as Ray Palmer, I get such a kick
so
out of him.
Killing this.
Yeah, he's having the best time.
And I'm glad this finally gets to show people, because everyone always forgets, and then he does something like when he popped up in Scott Pilgrim as the vegan, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, look at that's incredible!" He does all these little
he's
movies.
He's a great actor.
Yes, and people always forget that because they always think of Superman Returns.
Yeah, it was terrible in that movie. Anyway,
he was good as Christopher Reeve in that movie.
Okay, we watched one episode of Lucifer.
Yeah.
So this was Lucifer. Oh, I was not at all. I know some people on social media are talking about it being good, but like, so this is the devil takes a vacation in LA. So I'll see if you've seen the commercials for this one.
Yeah, I've seen the commercials.
And then, so you think you're going to see him like carousing around LA, like, you know, having a good old time, being on vacation, getting into antics and trouble. Well, no, in the very first episode, he links up with a cop and he's helping her solve crimes.
Like he hasn't just left hell. Like they talk about it at the beginning, but when you join the show, it's like, it's
he's
months, it's if not a year.
While.
It's
yeah.
been a while. So he's gotten comfortable in his sort of lifestyle, which is a shame because the setup of him with the bar thing,
all of
owning
it,
a bar could have been more interesting. I don't know.
I wanted the show that they were selling me in the commercials and not this
Castle
the Meets
comic
Sleepy
book
Hollow.
Miniseries. Neil Gaiman just is going, I had nothing to do with it.
Yep. So it's not very good and I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't even know. Did we even set the second episode?
I think I deleted it.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
So, I don't know. Now, something that was very good that we've also only tipped the iceberg of was Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
We watched just the first
episode of that. Just the first episode of that.
But they didn't need more hours in the day. I tell you what, it's really hard to be a geek and have a life and work and kids.
That's why, you know, if I can take us back to the Geek Label days for a moment, Stealth Geeks, trying to fit it all in.
Trying. So
I can't wait to
impressive.
See this round table Google Doc that you're making, Saucy, for our schedule. I can't wait to see this. And I hope it's all color coded. It has
you're like, giving me way too much credit. You know it's gonna be flat black and white.
Emoji like superhero.
You know
things.
It ain't gonna be there.
I made a color coded spreadsheet today. It was pretty
really?
Impressive.
Uh-huh.
Yep, I do that kind of stuff at work all the
Didn't
time.
See that coming.
Data validation and all kinds of other fancy shit.
Well
really fun.
Played, Clux.
Also on my list, The X-Files.
Ooh.
So we've watched, two episodes of The X-Files. And the first episode was just great.
It was a two-hour premiere, but it was two episodes. I see the confusion in your face.
And just in general, that was great. It made me just like super happy. It was the perfect setup, the perfect like return. You think you had a conspiracy before? Let's take it and turn it onto a whole nother level.
And in classic X-Files way, it all made sense.
Perfect sense. Of course.
And that explained the last couple of seasons of the show. Managed to make that all make sense, too.
And it's so fun. And they're just having a good time. David Duchovny and...
Gillian Anderson.
Yes. Are just having the best time. They're just happy to be on X-Files just again.
Slip right back into it.
Enjoying themselves very much.
It's just the continuation. Because if you didn't watch the movie after the show, it really doesn't matter. But if you did, there's a lot more understanding for their personal relationship that they're flowering out.
Yeah. It's just because it's like you can kind of get out of it what you've put into it.
Exactly.
So that's good. Because I haven't put in nearly as much. Like, I didn't even finish watching the original series.
Oh, did I put out for X-Files? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, did you? You naughty boy. Then we also watched Top Chef. And we're only behind by one, the one that's taping now, the second half of Restaurant Wars. Yeah. So that's the only reality show that we can...
Do you know it's a two-part Restaurant Wars? You might want to go back and find this for this.
So I probably won't watch it.
But for this, you might. For their restaurants, they had to do both lunch
and dinner service for the first time ever.
And everyone either had to be the executive or the front of house.
You couldn't hide behind.
So there was a slightly different staff between
still don't care, but that's okay. It's definitely pretty cool.
It was an interesting way of twisting it up.
And then we've watched a bunch of episodes, but still behind of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Or maybe we only watched one.
One or two.
That's what we're doing now. This is the one episode at a time, and we'll see you in 3 weeks podcast. I hope you enjoy it. We're going to have t-shirts in about 8 months.
And but there was that funny scene where Boyle and his girlfriend are wearing the same scarf because he forgot his scarf. And they're just walking together. He is sublime. Joe Lo Trulio is so sublimely funny on that show.
Yeah.
He just kills every scene he's in.
So again, if I can recommend the episode of Drunk History where he plays Capone.
Yeah, please. It's a good one.
Pretty good.
And Hollywood, when you finally make the movie about the douchebag pharma bro guy that Shkreli, whatever,
right.
Joe has to play him. Has to play him as the ultimate just egotistical narcissistic ass, and it was going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't mention Supergirl in our superhero stuff, but that's another one of those where we're behind on episodes. Behind. But it's there.
I didn't know that we've watched one episode of that in a while.
And it's so funny. And our DVR is so much bigger than it used to be, and it's still almost full all the time.
All the time.
Oh, anyway, I know all the other stealth geeks out there are doing the same thing. Yep. Just sign along with us.
They're like, you bastards,
right?
We come to you for the no.
Well, no, but when we were up on everything, we probably did. We probably, stealth geeks couldn't listen because we were spoiling it all.
Oh, well, there you
go. No spoilers at all.
One of us. One of us.
So, I don't know. Other than work and baby stuff, and there's probably a million other things that I have missed.
In fairness to that, we did have a sick baby at the beginning of the month that sickness kind of went for a while, and then your schedule went weird.
And
that's what's
thrown us. When you have a baby, people expect you to bring it to visit them. So it's a lot. But we are definitely raising a geek. She plays with, she has some geeky toys, some musical toys, and all kinds. She's got a geeky onesies. And we went to a baby shower, and it was a Star Wars
themed baby
and,
shower
and superhero themed.
Superhero themed.
Yeah, baby shower.
Well, I'm sorry, a lot of Star Wars gifts because people know the dad.
Yeah, we got him a onesie that said, "I'm a Jedi like my father." And the future doctor for Doctor Who.
You know the little knitted caps that you get for babies? Well, one was R2-D2's head, and the other one was Yoda's scalp because it was ears coming off of it. So your baby could
and
be
it was
Yoda.
It was tiny, so they can definitely put the baby in it right
absolutely,
away.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, that's definitely going to be their going home pictures, or not going home outfit because it'll be cold, but you know what I mean.
Well, I imagine the baby would wear more than a hat.
Yes. But yeah, so it was pretty geeky. They actually had this really good icebreaker game where everybody had a name tag turned over on the table, and you would go and you would take a name tag and you turn it over and there was a superhero on it. But they were all superheroes that were part of superhero teams. So either Justice League or the Watchmen or
Avengers,
X-Men, all different kinds of
Teen
things.
Titans, the Teen real Titans. Ones.
And so you had to go and find your other members and introduce yourself. I don't know if there was a prize or something.
There was. First Did you place. Win the No. No,
no, you didn't win that one. Someone else got to it, but yeah. And but we did win a prize for
the alphabet game.
The alphabet.
Not the Sam Kinison one.
and it was liquor, so that was cool.
It was.
It was definitely fun. It was a good mix of it was geeky stuff, but it was also some traditional just baby shower stuff that you kinda have to do. But it was fun.
Baby stuff, every letter of the alphabet, E, psh, won it. Episiotomy. Thank you.
Oh, so yeah, I reserve the right to chime in later. That has been my Geeky's Week.
Saucy.
Geeky's Month.
Smooth.
So I've been watching a lot of Netflix originals. I did Peaky Blinders. We talked about that last time. I started Marco Polo. I'm pretty sure we touched Marco on that last time, too.
Hello.
But I watched The Killing and Narcos, which are both Netflix original. I really enjoy Netflix originals.
Hey.
I really do. They do a good job. They do solid programming,
you know.
They do a really good job.
Daredevil's awesome. Jessica Jones, that one episode's been awesome. Orange is New Black's been awesome.
I also saw some Amazon original stuff. Bosch, which is...
Sounds like something you would say when you don't believe somebody. Bosch.
Bosch. Ah, Bosch. But no, I caught part of that and it was actually pretty
good.
Yeah,
it's this detective and he's just like trying to stay afloat. He's not a bad cop, but he's like one that's not afraid to like push the limits if he needs to for a case.
He's no hero. Like,
well, I mean, he kind of is.
Yeah, but he doesn't see himself as a hero.
Well, yeah. And I watched River too, and River is a Netflix original. And it floored me. 10 minutes in, it floored me, and it just had me for the rest of the thing.
Wow, that's a good endorsement.
Yeah, yeah. I can't talk anymore about it because everything would be a spoiler. Like everything, if I explained one thing, it would be a terrible spoiler.
It would.
The Boonies. I've been watching. It's a new National Geographic Wild.
Not a spinoff of the Boondocks.
No.
Lil Boonies.
Okay.
That was a visual, y'all.
It kind of was an audio one.
It focuses on like four different people. Someone who lives in like caves and stuff, and it's the below the grid. And there's a guy who lives in this like treehouse with his wife, and it's above the grid. And then you have the guy who lives on an island in the middle of Lake Michigan, and that's like beyond the grid. And it's cool. And then there's this guy who lives nomadically in Idaho.
I don't know. You're asking me. You saw
where are the Ozark Mountains? Is it Idaho?
I thought those were like...
The United States.
South Dakota?
No.
Oz?
Oz. Definitely Oz. I've been working a lot.
Yeah.
I've been working a lot. I am tired. I go back to work tomorrow.
You do?
Like Arkansas.
Arkansas. Yeah, I guess.
Arkansas.
I've also been doing a lot of planning for my garden and prepping, and started seeds today.
Nice.
For tomatoes and peppers. I'm doing mortgage lifter tomatoes and purple Cherokee tomatoes. It's pretty cool. Tomorrow I'm going to plant passion flower seeds. Pretty interesting stuff.
You seem happy.
I'm happy you're happy. I'm excited about it. It's almost time to like... Work the land and get it ready to plant.
Well, and get your hands dirty and get out there and actually like do some stuff.
Yeah, it's got to warm up though. It's cold.
Play with huge,
it's real cold.
It's real
tracks
cold.
Of land.
I don't like this kind of cold. This is bitter cold.
Yeah.
I'm okay with chilly.
Yeah.
I'll go short sleeves and shorts in chilly weather, but this cold, bitter stuff, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. But that's been my geeky week.
Saucy's cold. Out.
So I saw 300 Rise of an Empire. This is the sequel to
I've seen it.
It's a sort of prequel, but sequel. It's there. It happens. It goes by.
I think it's all part of it.
You know, just watch 300. I mean, there's really nothing more really. It's just kind of pointless. We also, Mr. Saucy, you left off your list. You have now seen the prequel trilogy of Star Wars.
Yeah, you hadn't seen.
I thought I had seen everything up until everything.
I believe you might have seen one, but I don't think you had saw two and three since we've done this last. But,
right, because it was after, like after you watched episode 7.
Yeah,
true enough.
So do you see what I'm saying now? Like, what are your thoughts? I mean, you didn't know. You jumped in. You jumped in weirdly with a Knights of the Old Republic. And then went to the real trilogy and then 7. Thoughts on the prequel trilogy?
Well, like jumping in with Knight of the Old Republic wasn't really that difficult because it's the same story, basically. Like the elements are the same. And I had a lot of like common knowledge. Like I knew almost everything.
But not
from
prequel.
The first three.
I found it interesting that you knew more... classic trilogy than prequel trilogy from public consciousness, and then that's because the prequel trilogies aren't really in the public consciousness.
I mean,
Darth Maul is.
No, I didn't know who Darth Maul. I mean, I knew of him because I remember
Public, like, not totally geek, but almost. I think most of the public consciousness.
Here you go.
Yeah, most.
I'm a Star Wars guy, but here you go. Name me two iconic lines from Attack of the Clones. If I said name two iconic lines from Empire, you wouldn't have to think about it.
Right.
I couldn't do either one.
You're new to the game, but
Luke, I am your father, and no, that's impossible.
Who's scruffy looking?
But I mean, so it wasn't that bad, but. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not really, really, really excited for the next one, but I'll go watch it.
But if you had seen The Phantom Menace, would you have been like, yeah, I'll go watch Attack of the Clones?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I did, so there you go.
You couldn't help it.
Right. So we closed out American Horror Story Hotel.
We did.
We certainly
did. We did do that.
I think I enjoyed it more than Freak Show, I believe.
I don't know. It was definitely...
It seemed more cohesive and told an overall story where there were a couple times with our freaks that I did enjoy where we seemed to be starting and stopping
things. I didn't like the main character in either one, so...
Okay. The first season's still the best.
And, I still haven't seen the first season.
And randomly, I may or may not have met the gentleman that portrays Liz Taylor in this... Because Tuesday night at trivia at a table, a guy who could have sort of been him, sort of, his friends were like introduced as like, hey, did you know this guy is a shaved down transvestite? And I was like, well, you wear it well. Then I stopped and they're like, yeah, he's from that American Horror Story thing. And I'm like, you could be. And he never said one way or another. And his friends kept giving him shit about it. And finally, I'm like, okay, dude, if your buddies are giving you a hard time, I'm sorry. But if that is you, that was amazing, man. So that I left it at that. So we'll never know. We'll just never know. So that one's over. I finished Scream Queens. The show went on too long. It didn't all work, but it was a hell of a fun ride. I enjoyed it so much. It has a stupid ending that could absolutely set up a second season if they wanted to go there, but I think they should just leave it alone. I'm happy with just let's do one season of awesome stuff and move on. If you do it again, you got to go the American Horror Story route and completely change the story of what in the world is going on in the first place. And I know that there's a ton of stuff that I have left off of this because I just don't have it all here. And I took all your geeky week. I can't really, because I was going to say there's one last thing that we should talk about, and that's finally taking something off of our list of shame of not having seen, in that we watched The Martian.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I knew there was another movie that we watched. Yep. I loved The Martian. I enjoyed it very much.
Very, very, very good film.
Like, you couldn't have a better ad for science.
I'm serious, dude. I wish you had saw it. We'll have to rent it again or something because you should see it. Because
I'll get it when it gets on HBO.
You will totally dig what he does.
He's a botanist.
It's basically, you know, one of your shows you love to watch except on Mars.
Because my like man's trying to survive. Extreme Survival Alaska except on Mars.
He's gonna science the shit out of it, and that's how he's gonna survive. So there you go. You would appreciate that. But no, that was a fantastic film. I just can't say everyone who just gushes about it. Yeah. And everyone's like, well, the book is even so much better. So who the hell knows? But if I'm having a hard time finding time for video games, who knows when we'll get to do stuff like that? So again, tons of stuff I've left out. But next time we'll have it quicker because we'll be around sooner, theoretically.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor. From their lips to your basement, to your underground lair. It's GRD News.
We'll be at Mysticon.
We will be at Mysticon, we'll she said Mysticon. With a question mark.
No, I was like, yep, you're pointing at me. Yep, we will be at Mysticon.
Absolutely, we will. And that'll be a damn fine time. That is the final weekend in the month of February, if you look at it that particular way. In which we will get there and have all kinds of funs with panels and parties. And I'm sure there's the masquerade and auctions. And God only knows how long the lines are going to be for George R.R. Martin. Well, I got an idea. One time it'll be 100. Another time it'll be 200.
Because they're capping it.
Because they're capping. They're having to cap the lines because he's on apparently a very tight schedule at the con. So yeah, that's going to be tremendous. I would invite you to go, but if you don't have a ticket, you're not going because they've been sold out for a while because Mysticon is a huge, big, crazy deal around here. And I think even further because people are coming, they know how awesome that shit is.
And plus George R.R. Martin is there.
Doesn't hurt. They sold out last year.
Well, yeah, but they sold out like...
Sold out quicker this year.
Well, yeah. some good news is that we are not up against George R.R. Martin. Our GRD podcast is scheduled for 1 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. So if you're listening to this and you're... already have your tickets and going to be at Mysticon. Yeah. We were in ballroom C at 1 o'clock on Saturday. And yeah, there are some things here ish, but we're not up against anything. Like I said, we're not at the same time as George R.R. Martin. So that's good.
No, I'm sure he's going to sleep in or come attend our panel. I hear he's a big fan.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe even, wouldn't it be awesome if he'd stop by after the show and hang around and be somebody on Mr. Adventure, which will be making a return, and that's going to be tremendously awesome as well.
We should also give a shout out to our friends at Gallifrey Pirate Radio, and there's just going to be a lot of good geeky stuff going on. It's Mysticon. I think it is just the perfect confluence of small con and big guests.
And you know it's a good time because your lifetime master of ceremonies is the very own patron saint of this fine, fine program, your very own geekradiodaily.com. That's Mr. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried, and he's there and will always be on. No matter what time you see him, right. He will be on. So, yeah, so you should go there. And have our app. That way, if you want to clap in the audience, you could maybe just ring the bell that's
included.
That would
be funny. Ding, ding, ding.
No, that would kind of get really weird if people started dinging bells instead of clapping.
What was it last year that got old really quick? It was something.
The heroin clap?
No, that was a couple years ago.
That's timeless and golden.
I see what you did there.
I feel like there was something last year.
I can't remember.
You've blocked it out of your memory. Oh, well.
I'm sure there's a detractor of ours out there somewhere who's listening because they hate us that says, oh, I know exactly what it is, you bastards. Well, you should send a note.
Or they could have called.
To podcast@geekradiodaily.com and let us know that. That'd be fantastic. I just wanted an excuse to do some plugging.
You always do.
I certainly damn do. But yeah, get the app, get all those fun things, and come, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Tell all of your friends to listen to us and give us good ratings or bad ratings. Just talk about us on the internet. It always helps no matter what you do. So thank you. And I guess that's our plan.
No blasted lettuce today.
Can you believe that we have a Sweekly with no mail of any kind? Or did we get such a drought of mail for the daily borrowed?
People thought we were never going to do it.
Maybe.
Again.
It's entirely possible. That's all right. But you might have had a busy month too, because we had a slam-ass crazy month of January. But that's
holidays,
fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just can't really get past those. So if you'd like to drop a note about any and everything and telling us what you'd like to do at Mysticon, by all means, drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. We'll make that happen. Or you could always send a voicemail, which is so much fun to listen to.
And then you'll hear your voice live at Mysticon over the loudspeaker.
Ooh. You don't think we'll do another show between now and Mysticon?
I don't know.
Doubtful.
Doubtful.
Let's be honest.
510 GRD Crow.
I'm going to try to make it happen. What's that number again?
510 GRD Crow.
You just got to keep believing, brother. That's all I'm saying.
Going online now. With a look at the many places you can go to get your geek on.
Are you sure this is a sci-fi convention? It's full of nerds!
It's the GRD Con Report.
Con! Indeed, the GRD Con Report, a list of places you can go to get your geek on for the month of Marzipan? No, it's just March.
March. Well, the first weekend of March.
Say it again like that.
I can't.
Oh, that's a damn shame. So where can you go in March?
The first weekend, the 3rd through the 5th, we have CoastCon in Biloxi, Missouri. The 4th through the 6th, we have AlbaCon in Albany, New York. Also that same weekend, MarsCon, not the MarsCon that we know, but there's one in Minnesota. And then the following weekend, the 11th through the 13th, there's FogCon, capital F-O-G, lowercase con, in Walnut Creek, California.
The 16th through the 20th. International Conference on the Fantastic in the Arts in Orlando, Florida. DeepCon 16 in Fiuggi, Italy. LunaCon in Rybrook, New York. And Potlatch 25 in San Jose, California.
The 24th through the 27th, you got NorwestCon in Seattle, Washington. You've got Contact, and then in parentheses, NatCon, but you can't hear that. In Brisbane, Australia, MiniCon, parentheses, home, but you can't hear that. In Minneapolis or nearby. And if Minneapolis gets snowed out, they'll be on the bank of the river, I guess. And SakuraCon and AnimeCon also in Seattle, Washington. Seattle has two conventions the same weekend. both geek related in different ways. And I find that to be quite cool and interesting. So if you know of a con that we don't know about, or there's one coming up you'd like to let the world know about, please drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. And we'll be sure to talk all about it at some point in time in the future. And that's sort of a little segue, because if you relax, kick back a moment, we'll be right back to talk about a main topic, something it's been a while since we've done.
This is not Cape Cod. Ah, good morning. Are they biting?
Not as much as I'd like, but that doesn't really matter. I just come out here to relax. The name's John.
Ah, well. I won't keep you then, John, but could you be so kind as to tell me the way to Cape Cod? Now, let's see. November the 5th, 1955. Yes. Something about that date. Well, that doesn't look like Cape Cod.
What on earth?
Excuse me, do you know the way to Cape Cod?
You're standing on it. How did you get here?
I'm not sure. Really took a wrong turn. Should have gone left at Albuquerque, maybe.
Well, that's funny. You don't look much like a rabbit to me. How did you get here?
Finally, someone with a sense of humor. Get in the TARDIS quickly, now.
I'm not going in there with you. Who are you?
I'm the doctor. Now hurry up.
Doctor who?
The doctor who's trying to save your life. Look!
A Leak in Time, starring the Fourth Doctor, coming October 3rd, 2015, to a YouTube near you. Visit our website, drpuppetwho.wordpress.com, or search us on Facebook, Dr. Puppet Who. You'll recognize us from the classic series Diamond Logo, but in gold. At YouTube, you'll find us at youtube.com/user/99acrewoods.
Hi, this is Sean Marr, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. I don't know why.
Hey, Doc, what's going on?
Your kids, Monty. They're in trouble. We've got to travel to the future to save them.
Whoa, Doc. We're really here in the future. Huh. Looks different from how I imagined it.
That's right, Marty. It's October 21st, 2015.
Oh, incredible. Who knows what kind of technological advancements and, like, societal progress we've made in 3 decades. Far out.
There's no time for that, Marty. We gotta find your kids.
Well, let's load up the car's fusion reactor with garbage and find them.
Now, stop! Are you crazy? Most cars still run on fossil fuels, and the ones that don't are prohibitively expensive for most people.
That's crazy! Hasn't the government made, like, meaningful investment in clean energy?
No, Marty. It's gotten so bad that carbon emissions have irreversibly changed the planet's climate!
Oh, heavy. At least it still flies.
Cars don't fly. In fact, flying is a real ordeal since the rise of fundamentalist Islamic terrorists has made travel a nightmare of fear and security theater.
What a dark geopolitical era this is. Bummer, Doc.
You gotta fit in, Marty. Quick, put these on.
Oh, rad. I bet they're like futuristic self-lacing sneakers, right, Doc?
What? No, they're called Crocs. They're foam sandals.
Oh, man, it looks like a clogged fucked Swiss cheese. Smells like it, too. Do people actually wear these?
All the time. Especially at amusement parks and malls.
So, welcome back to GRD's Weekly, episode 62. And, of course, Back to the Future is the inspiration for this discussion, because it is a very weird thing that the Back to the Future trilogy now takes place completely in the past. And so, yeah. Future movies that are no longer in the future, I figured, is a fascinating topic, because
yeah,
there's been
a couple of other things have come up too, and it's just like
Roy Batty from Blade Runner, his he went into service October. It was October, I think.
Yeah, and enjoy November. The time while you have it, because according to Groundhog's Day, the world will end on Valentine's Day 2016.
That's why we had to hurry up and do this show, because right? So, the world will end on Valentine's
Day. Before Mysticon, no!
It's a damn shame, unless this, of course, is the alternate timeline from where The Flash changed it earlier in the show.
Oh, phew. Crazy. Anyway, but so this kind of inspired you to think about, like, you know, you think of as an artist and a science fiction writer, screenplay, whatever it is, and you're sitting down and you're thinking about like the future and you pick numbers out of your head, you know, to me thinking, oh, 2015, 2015, that does sound like the future. It still kind of does. It's just weird. And I understand that that's the past now. It's just like, I guess it's like where you, when you grow up affects what you think of as the future.
Because, you know, for a bunch of people, you know, 1915 sounded like the future. So, so yeah, tons and tons and tons of things, because not just for time travel necessarily, but yeah, things to come, if you will.
Yeah. The 2020s, I predict people are going to bring back like swing dancing and like flapper dresses.
Okay.
That'd be crazy because it'll be the 20s again.
I could see that.
Oh, I hope they don't do that for all of the decades, though. That'd be crazy.
Well, you know, whoa, the 70s will happen again.
This has happened again.
It will. Yes, it's happened before. It will happen again. Yeah, so it got me thinking about it because one of the first movies I remember that really talked to, you know, was showing the future was the film Things to Come, based on the H.G. Wells story. They made that in 1936, and that movie shows, well, Things to Come from about like 1940 to the year 2036.
Wow.
So that one hasn't completely, but most of that film is now in the past, which is just a little strange way of looking at it. So I threw together a list of some of these, some of the weirder ones, because I never understood this as a kid growing up. I would watch horror movies. We've talked about this incessantly. And one of these was called Frankenstein 1970 that was on at like 2 o'clock in the morning on the all-night horror movie marathon. And yeah, it's a Frankenstein movie 1970. And imagine my surprise to learn that unlike some movies that say, like Dracula 2000 was made in 2000, this was a Frankenstein 1970 that was made in 1958. And all I could think to myself was, why did they need a future 12 years later?
Yeah.
That's weird. You know, that just, but no, that has no longer happened. The movie Just Imagine from 1930 showed us the world of 1980 because they looked 50 years into the future. Needless to say, it's a little different. Right. It's a little different than what it was.
Now, you know, what we haven't covered in this episode, which maybe would be a follow-up episode in the future, would be kind of like these, like, how right did they get their predictions of the future? Because some, you know, you think of there was some technology like Star Trek. We're basically
we'd have to
iPads.
Do a whole show with Star Trek because of all the things that they've done that have come true.
It's inspired a lot of scientists and geeks to be like, okay, yeah, well, let me see if I can figure out how to make that thing. But
you know, we did
all of these, though, when you're predicting like, and then that time elapse, it'd be interesting to see kind of like a parallel of what did you get right? What did you get wrong?
Because, you know, we did the story on The Daily Show about which the 3D printer that can print food, how they're trying to some success
basically
to that.
A
it's a replicator.
That's
it's
crazy.
It's a basic replicator.
Or even some things that they get totally wrong, where like sometimes these older movies and you see everybody is still smoking everywhere.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, you didn't predict that we were going to break that habit as a people.
No, well, the money was...
We didn't, so...
The money was too big.
Okay, yeah, we haven't, but like
the majority.
You can't smoke anywhere anymore inside. You used to be able to just smoke inside. You used to be able to smoke on airplanes.
Sorry, this
is crazy.
Personal moment for us. Western Sizzlin', when we go home and go to Western Sizzlin', when you walk and you turn right before you get your tray, that area there used to be the no smoking section. Like four tables used to be the no smoking section in this big steak restaurant. Craziness.
It's crazy.
Another weird one that wasn't, I don't know why they said it in the future, is The Phantom Planet. This is from 1961 that was also set in 1980, and it's about discovering a planet that we, you know, didn't know was there. It's coming to kill us. It's weird that they set them there. Some fun movies, like Westworld. You saw Westworld with me. It's Michael Crichton. See if this sounds familiar. It's an amusement park where things go wrong and the attractions start trying to kill people.
Hey, it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But yes, they only wanted a 10-year future, so...
Yeah.
Does it make sense? If you're going to do it like that, then why just not make it in the
Well, you have
present?
To, you know, the time frame, the 70s, there was like this resurgence in sort of sci-fi to a level where like robots, there was a fascination for robots in the 70s.
And I think these people who get it wrong by underestimating the time it's going to take us to get to a technology, that's a whole nother like genre of mistake. Because you're like... You know, they're like, wow, I think in 10 years we're going to have flying cars. Or I think in 15 years we're going to be, you know, subservient to our robot overlords. I don't think that we're going to make that leap of an advancement that quickly. I don't know.
Probably not. And we didn't quite.
And in terms of robot overlords, I'm perfectly happy not being a slave.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for not.
Alien invasion is another one that I'm super glad hasn't happened yet.
The book 1984. Of course, 84 right. is past. The book was written in 1956, and it was Orwell was not actually trying to predict the future so much as a future and where
a
your
cautionary tale.
Your government is watching you and warning you. And well, they made a movie in 1984. How clever and appropriate of them! So that movie as well is in the past.
That's like when Party Like It's 1999. It ended back. Up being like the biggest hit of 1999 as well.
Yeah. It's, oh my God, this yeah. thing. And you know, like how many.
I definitely wonder, played it as at midnight of like, or sure, maybe course. Not at midnight, but at some point at that night. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, because you know that, you know, every class of 99, some high school dance, you know that that song popped up and everybody yeah. lost and their freaking like, mind.
Oh, this is our song.
They're talking about us. Yeah, I remember that song came out. Trying to figure out as a kid how old I was going to be in 1999. Wow. It had not been the easiest thing to do right off the top of my head. Another weird spaceship futuristic movie. First Spaceship to Venus. The book for this written in 51. The movie came out in 1960. The guy wrote the book in 51 and figured by 85 we'd have the technology. We'd be able to go to Venus. We haven't been to space. Nothing has happened yet. But, you know, in about 50 years, sure, if we really put our minds to it.
Because that's where we're going to go first.
Sure. Well, no, we it was the first one to get to Venus, you know.
Because women are from Venus.
You got to go where the women are. You're always going.
Where the Venus women at?
They made a sequel to Westworld in 1976 called Future World, which was set 2 years later. So it was 85, which is the past now, which is still just strange. I threw the movie Parasite in because it's a ridiculous movie starring Demi Moore, a young Demi Moore who I don't think had actually been on General Hospital yet. It was also a 3D film in the resurgence of 3D in the 80s. And that was made in 1982, set in 1992, where the world could have been a future because it's one of these desolate, you know, there's nothing really left and you can tell things went bad. This is the one thing in this movie I'll never forget. This guy is trying to, you know, he finds a gas station abandoned, long abandoned. It's all desertish stuff. And he's, is there any gas at all left? The sign said on for the station said that gas was $40 a gallon.
Wow. For a while there, we were climbing and climbing. We were climbing going. With no one in sight, but wow.
Now, a fascinating one, if you like your Star Trek and you like your classic villains like Khan, Noonien, and Singh. Well, all that happened from 1993 to 97, the eugenics wars of Star Trek, their timeline said that had happened 20 years ago, basically. So we have perfect people who wow. are trying to take over the world.
Sounds wow. about right.
You think that's what's going on?
Oh, yeah. The Kardashians?
People, I said perfect people. Good Lord. The Abyss, this is the James Cameron film. They said it 5 years in the future. I have no idea why. I guess to explain the sort of technology they had, because it's a deep sea diving thing. They meet aliens, so what was the point? I don't understand the point of putting something in the future like that. That's such a meaningless thing.
Right. Weird. You don't even have to put a date on it. You just don't.
No, exactly.
You know, and that's a whole other kind of point of discussion is like you can just say like sometime in the future, or you could just make your movie and not put any kind of date on it and let the audience kind of make their judgment.
In the not too distant future.
Galaxy far, far away.
James
long,
Cameron,
long time ago.
something, James Cameron, because
James Cameron doesn't do what James Cameron does right. for James Cameron. That's right. The Martian Chronicles, the fantastic book, a bunch of different stories written by Ray Bradbury about Mars. They made this into a miniseries in 1979, and this was awesome because I remember watching this as it happened. I was fascinated by this. This was set 1999 through 2057, or 2057, if you will. So this one's still not, but most of it is now in the past. And I think some of the really cool ones, like the one where Peter Parker went to Mars and met his dead brother, I think that one's past.
Like Spider-Man Peter Parker?
Well, Nicholas Hammond, who played him in the TV okay. series, played an astronaut. Like, sorry.
Like, no, it was one
there
of
were
those
three
where, like,
people out there that knew exactly what I meant.
And then you ended with a different sentence. And I was
very
like,
sorry about that.
See, I was paying attention.
Saucy, did you realize that? Did you realize when you watched A Clockwork Orange with me that it took place in 1995?
No.
Don't you remember wearing that same outfit in 1995? Your
no.
suspenders, your top hat, and whatnot?
No.
Do you think that no. there was hooliganism of that sorts going on in
1995? I was probably wearing coveralls. I got a pair of coveralls so I could work in the garage with my dad on the trucks.
If you get them white, you know, you could make one a droogie outfit.
Yeah,
book was 62, movie was 71, but yeah, it was It was a future where these just kids were just going to keep getting more and more violent. That's what they're going to do. Lost in Space. The comic book, 62. The TV show, 65. Lost in Space happened in 1997.
Wow. I mean, and also, like, the fact that we haven't gotten there doesn't also sort of depress you a little bit? Like, we haven't, like, made advancements in technology fast as we all thought we would.
I'm watching Lost in Space reruns as a kid, and, you know, it's yeah, because you see this time frame, and this is what you can do when you look at all the cool stuff you have now, and it's like, well, of course we'll be able to get there by then. And then we get there, and no, we didn't.
Well, I mean, imagining something existing and actually making it existing are two totally different things. I'm not trying to hate on science, but, like, yeah, we should, I don't know, it's like, maybe if we, I don't know, I'm not getting political, if we spent more money on science, maybe we would be doing more. I think all geeks can agree with that.
There's a billion things that need to be spent on before science even gets, like, a jab at the budget.
Look up Bill Hicks talking about this very topic. That's the right answer. The Terminator franchise. Judgment Day was August 29th, 1997. That's when Skynet took over. That's when the bombs happened. That's when it all went over.
We have Skynet, basically.
We do. But that's one I can tell you exactly what happened on August 29th, 1997, because I got drunk and celebrated the fact that we did not have a nuclear war.
Nice.
Because the whole time I grew up in the 80s, we were going to have a nuclear war at any goddamn moment. And Terminator is the ultimate, there it is, it's going to happen, and we're going to be the cause of it ourselves through our, you know, hubris. And we made it. We made it.
Hubris.
Yep. Terminator 3, though, changed the timeline, apparently messing around with stuff. It happened in 2003. But still, no, it didn't. I did not get drunk for that day, because that didn't mean as much to me. And Kyle Reese will not be sent back for another 13 years. He gets sent back in time in 2029. One of the ones when thinking about this, when I was talking to you about the idea of these future movies, was Escape from New York. John Carpenter's wonderful film set in 1981 that opens up, black screen, letters, the future, 1997.
Wow.
And you look at that now. Escape from New York.
See, no need for that. You boxed yourself in. That's just not thinking ahead.
They needed you to know that this was coming, and it was coming soon, because crime was getting really, really bad in the 80s. So, of course, what we're going to do is take New York, wall it off, and just make all of that part of New York a prison. Just drop people off.
Yeah. So it had to happen. It had to be, like, within a certain time from the, from when it came out.
But that really dates you. When you look at it now, you just giggle your ass off. Like in 1975, when you make a TV series called Space 1999 that posits that in just 24 years, we'll be taking spaceships out there. Oops, wait, we missed the moon, and now we're in space and we're dealing with it. So good for us. Destroy All Monsters. The Godzilla movie that's like the greatest hits, where everybody, like Mothra and everyone, every single monster
Gamera,
is in this.
Gamera has friends with children.
The movie came out in 1968, and for reasons I don't even know, said that this movie would happen in 1999. So I really want someone to make a trailer of Destroy All Monsters with Prince in the background. I need that to happen. You need to make that and put that in my life. Make Room, Make Room is a book written in 1966 that became a movie in the 70s with Charlton Heston. The movie is called Soylent Green. The book was written in 66, takes place in 1999. The movie decided, no, that's too soon. It's 2022. So the book's in the past, but the movie's not.
So I just figured out why people ever have kids. Because MJ does not know that Soylent Green is people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, she doesn't know Norman Bates and his mom. She doesn't know anything. So that you can just, like, get to have those moments. She doesn't know the Darth Vader, Luke's dad. It's just kind of like all these big things that exist. You get to see them all over again in another person.
And see, these are the technologies you need to make, right?
Right?
Right? Get the kids to do
flying car. Maybe she's the inventor of the flying car.
Wait. So you believe that children are our future. You want to teach them well and let them lead the way. I didn't think it was that fun.
I thought it was.
Okay, good. The movie Death Race 2000 is a wonderful low-budget Roger Corman thing in which you'll see a not-yet-famous Sylvester Stallone in there. It's, if you could imagine Mad Max, but it's a game show, that's Death Race 2000.
Wow, I feel old, but I remember when 2000 was like the future.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. 1975 to 2000. So fantastic. So speaking of the year 2000, 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yeah. Why don't we have more of that?
Written in 1968.
Except for, you know, the bad part.
The movie also, it was based on a short story written right before that, but when the movie came out, Arthur C. Clarke co-wrote the novel at the same time. So in 1968, they had a 2001 in which we could go to Jupiter or Saturn, if you prefer. We have some of those. We had, there's a video call that takes place, you know, at one point in the movie. We don't have, you know, just a working base of people up on the moon or anything.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, even when you're, you know, watching this, you're like, we can still do this. 30 years from now, 40 years, it did not, which is sad. Trip to the Moon, the wonderful, you both know what this is. This is the George Melies film that you best know.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Girl.
The man who invented special effects. You know the classic image of the moon with the face but a rocket in the eye?
Yeah.
That is from this film.
Oh.
Set in 1902, and that took place in 2002.
We made in 1902, yes?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. You said set in 1902. So made in 1902, but wow. And that was 2002 is when they said it was?
Yes. They said that took place in 2002.
Wow.
The movie Time Cop that we watched recently, and we sort of had a discussion and got me thinking about this topic again, is a movie that takes place in 1994 that is set in 2004 simply because things had to happen 10 years later and it involved time travel. So that one made sense. The only weird thing they really did in that, they didn't try to go too crazy future. But remember the cars? They like added plastic to try to... I don't know what they were trying to make the cars look like.
I don't know.
But the cars look so freaking weird.
Well, because you want to make them look different, but you don't want to spend a ton of money on it.
Sure. I can see that. Bicentennial Man.
Yeah.
Wow. Arthur C. Clarke. The book 78, the movie 99. The story itself is set from 2005, but actually ends in 2205. So not as much of this in the past as it was. Did you actually watch this simply because Robin Williams was in it? Did you know Robin Williams was in this film?
No, I know. Okay. He's the Bicentennial Man.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if I watched this before my great fascination with Robin Williams or not.
Interesting.
It depends on whether I saw this or Survivors first.
If only we had a way to find out.
I'd have to think awful hard.
We could hypnotize you. Transformers the movie, the only fantastic Transformers movie that ever existed, the animated one, was made in 1985. It was set in 2005 because, you know, time passed and this is where we're going to be. The movie Paycheck is a story by Philip K. Dick written in 1953. This became a movie with Ben Affleck in 2003. And it was set in the far, far future of 2007. Okay. And 53, that seemed like the future.
Right.
But for 2003.
You think that they would have like changed it.
You would have. Double Dragon. The video game was 87. They made a movie in 1994 that they decided would take place in the year 2007. Robert Patrick does Kung Fu. Why not?
There are a lot of these that take place in the... I guess they didn't want to say year 2000 because that was like too much of a round number. So that in this like 2005 to 2010 range, there's definitely quite a few that's when they were set.
Yeah. So it's weird. Split Second, the wonderful film with Rutger Hauer. We're going to need bigger guns, much bigger guns. 1992, they had a 2008 in which... Like, because of the ozone layer going, it's, for whatever reason, constantly raining and dismal and dirty, which is really a way to make a cheap movie because you set it in a place with not a lot of lights. It's very, very smart. The game Dino Crisis.
Like Children of Men.
Like Children of Men.
Or that other one where they walked across the road.
The road.
Where they walked across the title of the film. The video game Dino Crisis that had two really awesome games. Maybe three. Whichever one was on Xbox sucked. It was made in 99, but took place in 2009 for reasons I can't explain. The Butterfly Effect movie. Here's another weird one. That came out in 2004. It was set in 2010.
I don't know.
There was no reason to sort of set that in the future.
I'm on that at all.
No.
The only reason, I mean, like you can start to tell when a movie was made, when their fashion starts to get dated or like the cars that they're driving around gets dated. It's impossible to totally exist out of time altogether.
Right.
But at the same time, it's just, I don't know, there's no need to just pick a couple of years ahead in the future and set it then.
But they did.
It's a 2010 Toyota Camry instead of a 2007.
Bastards. Speaking of 2010, that's my next one. The book written in 82, the movie 84, the sequel to 2001 A Space Odyssey, 9 years later. So from their time frame, but for us, we did not go back to Jupiter to find out what happened to Dave Bowman. So
no, he didn't.
That's pretty sad. Grand Theft Auto 2. This one surprised me when I looked this up. Apparently the game from 99, for no particular reason, was set in 2013. I played the hell out of some Grand Theft Auto 2.
Crazy.
I have no idea why that would be that. Days of Future Past, the comic 1980 took place in 2013.
But and so when we're watching it in the current, the movie version of it, they don't specify a time period.
But
it's the 70s-ish for the, you know,
for that,
for the backflash.
And this is a future that we...
the backflash.
You did. I was going to let it go. And that's a future for the movie franchise,
that's
which...
when you do a backflip into your flashback.
The movie franchise was set in real time for us at the time. So
right.
When was X-Men 3, the last one?
Early 2000s.
It was 2005 or 6 or something. So this would have to be... So the movie 20 years later, 2026-ish, because people have grown up, yeah. Sort of? I don't know. We didn't get that one. A Scanner Darkly, another Philip K. Dick story. 77, the movie came out in 2006. It's a 2013 date. That's a good movie. I don't think we'll get like that kind of weird suit that protects your identity 3 years ago. Don't think so. Escape from L.A., the unnecessary sequel to Escape from New York, which does feature lava surfing, was made in 1996 and is set in the year 2013 because it still had to be in the future. And so that didn't so much work. Of course, Back to the Future 2, 2015, which spawned this whole thing.
I remember that like, and how many people like photoshopped the date in the flux capacitor for all these other dates,
yeah,
and until it was the day. And I hope that now it's stuck in people's consciousness enough that they won't fall for those in the future, like because everybody celebrated the day. I hope that nobody, they have another, like how much time would have to pass before people would start falling for it again, like when somebody dies but it's been years ago and you're like, oh, I had forgotten, you know.
They kept being so many fake dates, but yeah. And I remember when we got to 2015 and I saw the first time I saw the fake one of those, I was like, oh god, it's gonna be real, it's gonna be real, right? Soon. That was a very strange moment.
Because I think the Back to the Future movies have a very special place, you know. I mean, like, we love those movies.
Yes.
Awful and great.
I have a crazy list. I ended up making a list that went far, far, far past that because that's all I have as far as everything that was set in the future that's now
that
past.
That we have past, yeah.
Yeah, but some stuff coming up. 2017, if you remember Surrogates, it was a comic book. It was a movie in 2009. This is the Bruce Willis one, where you go into the robots. Was set in 2017.
That was a lot of CGI. I don't think we're getting to that in 2017.
You don't think we'll be able to transfer our consciousness into an undestructible... Oh, well,
nope.
Not quite undestructible robot body by next year?
I don't think so, no.
That's a damn shame. The movie Stealth, that fighter pilot, that stealth bomber with Jamie Foxx where the plane comes to life, sort of, that happens next year, too. Thought you'd like to know that. Remember at the end of Harry Potter, where it's the future?
Where their kids go to Hogwarts?
2017 is when that was set.
Wow.
Because you have to think about when the books and when that story would have...
What?
From the first Harry Potter book,
yes,
if you put them in order, 2017, next year, is when they send their kids to Hogwarts.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. The movie, the comic book first, Barbed Wire, that became a movie with Pamela Anderson. Uh-huh. It was a comic in 94, it was a movie in 96. That takes place in 2017. That's a future that's probably somewhat real in places. Probably not, though. The movie Cherry 2000, starring Melanie Griffith. 1987, that takes place in 2017, as does Fortress from 93, as does The Running Man. Stephen King book from 82, which was a movie in 87 with Arnold, was 2017.
Ugh.
Yeah. Remember my Nazis on the Moon movie I love so much? Iron Sky?
Yeah.
That movie came out in 2014. It's set in 2018.
That's another one. There's no reason. We're not getting that technology.
In 2 years.
But that was probably tongue-in-cheek because that's how that movie rolls.
Well, the Nazis are the one with the technology. In 2 years, we're going to discover they had it because they're going to come back from the moon.
That's true. It was kind of unexpected at the time.
Indeed. Rollerball, 1975, set in 2018. Roller derby's going to get crazy and start killing people in 2 years' time. Are you ready for that?
Awesome.
Saucy, you're interested in this one. Do you realize that The Purge, the first one, happened in 2018? The first Purge is 2 years away. Nice. So that means Donald Trump is becoming president.
Oh,
there you
no.
go. The Island, the Leonardo DiCaprio film, came out in 2009. It's set in 2019. I didn't realize that was a future movie because I don't think I ever saw it. After the Fall of New York, this horrible, cheap Mad Max ripoff is set in 2019 for 83. Akira. You know of Akira? There you go. The comic is from 82, the movie in 88. That takes place in 2019. So we're going to find psychic kids who are going to start destroying cities.
I had a Shakira joke ready to go, but I saved it.
You know, just tuck it away. You know, maybe underneath your clothes.
Hips Blade.
No, they do not. Blade Runner, which was Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep when it was a book in 66. Right. It's a movie in 82. Now, that takes place in 2019. Oh, but Roy's date's actually coming up. It was 2016. It was in January because Roy Batty came online earlier this year. That's really weird. Daybreakers, the movie with the vampires, that happens in 2019. So vampires are going to take over the world soon. Pacific Rim, that took place in 2020. That's 7 years ahead. So very shortly, the rift's going to open up and, you know, these monsters are going to come through. 1965's Voyage to the Prehistoric Planet takes place in 2020. G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra took place in 2020 as well. That was made in 2000. I don't know why that was in the future. Johnny Mnemonic, the Keanu Reeves film with cyberpunks and storing stuff in your head, 2021. G.I. Joe, the second one, takes place in 2024. Repo Men, where they go and repossess your organs, takes place in 2024. RoboCop, the good one, takes place in 2043, but the bad one, 2028. And Metropolis, Fritz Lang's Metropolis that I love so much, made in 1927, took place 100 years later. 2027 is when the man will crush the people and they will live in their castles up in the air. And we need a robot to help us overthrow the man.
Wow.
So yeah. The futures that have passed, not so much. The ones that are still coming are pretty dire. Just thought I'd let you know that. So yeah. Because hell, Tank Girl's in 2033.
We're not doing the best job of taking care of our planet, but we are pretty resilient.
And just because I had to do this, for everybody's record, the one that'll take the longest that I found would, of course, be Dune, written in 1965 and takes place in the year 10,191. So if anybody's still around, do an update on our show for us, won't you please? I'd really appreciate it. So thank you for joining us at for years gone by and years yet to come. It was weird. It's crazy. Makes you feel old, doesn't it? Even you, Saucy. Look at all the stuff that's happened.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Not as much as you guys.
Oh, shut the hell up, you damn dirty ape. All right. Make sure you check us out Facebook, Twitter, all those fun places. Maybe stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. I should probably tell you that GOD is actually the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Works 96.3.0 license. And then if you'd like to, you can always send us an email. That's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Find a future. Hold on to it because it's going to be gone. Remember, today's a gift. That's why it's the present.
Good times.
Everything we know about you guys is wrong.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
I gotta tell you, Doc, this future seems pretty terrible.
I know, but we have to survive it for the sake of your kids.
Cubs win? They finally won the World Series! No way! Cubs wins revoked amid steroid scandal.
Yeah, the whole sport of baseball is in pretty dire condition. It's been struggling to find new fans, and rampant drug use has tarnished the game.
Ah, jeez. What a grim development for America's pastime.
Also, print media is on its last legs.
Hey, McFly! I told you not to come around here!
Oh, no! That's Griff! Beth's grandson.
Chill out, Doc. It's the future. I'll just hop on a hoverboard and float away. They'll never catch me.
Sorry, Monty. There aren't any hoverboards. This is the closest thing we have.
What is this?
It's called an oxboard, Monty. It's slightly faster than walking.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess if it helps me get away.
See, Monty? There's a pack of Vine Stars riding past right now.
Yeah, I don't know what Vine is, but I hate them.
You got a lot of nerve showing your face, McFly.
Aw, jeez, are you gonna bully me?
What? Think, McFly. If I was gonna bully you, I'd do it anonymously online, where I would continuously encourage you to commit suicide and leak nude photos of you.
Hey, whoa, sounds like we've all forgotten how to treat our fellow humans with dignity.
That's right, Marty. Technology has connected us, but in many ways, driven us farther apart than ever before.
Hey, Griff, what's that? All right, here we go, Oxford.
Great Scott, how we've fallen.